Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Reduce touch points and stay open for business with hands-free doors. Calgary Lock and Safe recommends wave sensors, arm pulls, and foot pulls. Explore options at calgarylockandsafe.com.
And Elliot Friedman, gracious enough to join us on this Wednesday after not being able to join us on Monday. Hello, Mr. Friedman. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm really curious as to what you're hearing out of Las Vegas, where they've seen back-to-back shutouts from Robin Lehner. We know he's a pending unrestricted free agent. We know that they're still playing and have their eyes on a Stanley Cup. I'm just curious as to this evolving story. What's your feel on Lehner's future, whether it be in Vegas or elsewhere?
Well, I think there's mutual interest in having him there. I think he'd like to stay there, and I think they'd like to have him there. I know there have been a lot of rumblings about, whether or not they've agreed to something already. I've heard the same numbers thrown around, 5 times 5. As best I can tell, there's no signed thing or anything like that, but I think at the very least, like there have been conversations about this. And to be honest, would anybody be surprised, Pat, based on what we're seeing right now, that they would want him there and he would want to stay there?
100%.
I don't think so. And, but they still have, they're tight to the cap. They still have Fleury there for 2 more years at an AAV of $7 million. You've got to navigate that. You can't have $12 million on your goaltending, right? So I think they've probably got to look at this and figure it all out. But I've heard the same rumors as everybody else that they want him and he'd like to stay.
What does your gut tell you about what happens with Fleury? Is he a guy that is playing elsewhere next season? And if so, how does Vegas go about facilitating that?
Well, I think you'd have to look at that and believe it. It seems as if the relationship here is damaged. And the one thing I don't like to do, I don't like Pat to come out and say that it can't be repaired or it's over. Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely headed in that direction. But, we've seen stranger things happen before. It's clear that Fleury's unhappy with what's transpired here. It's clear that the organization isn't happy with, the tweet from his agent and, how that played out in the middle of the playoffs. There's a lot of moving parts here. And one of those is Fleury's contract. One of those is the overall cap crunch around the league. One of those is that there's a lot of goalies available right now. There's a lot of options for teams to go on, whether it's a free agent or a trade candidate or someone else. Like there's a lot going on here. So, the one thing I really do believe is that the Kapanen deal with the Leafs in Pittsburgh, it kind of shocked teams into, hey, we'd better get going here and figuring out what the market is and what our options are. And I'm sure Vegas mm-hmm. is going on about that and trying to figure that out. But it's not the easiest time to move a goaltender now because there's so many options available.
Knowing where Vegas is right now and knowing that here they are, they've got eyes on a Stanley Cup this year, and I can't imagine that they're going to all of a sudden not have eyes on it for the next number of seasons. Would they be a team that would be willing to eat significant salary or sweeten a deal to try and move part of or all of that Fleury contract out?
Well, I think you have to consider everything, right, Pat? They're in a situation where they've got some contracts coming off the cap, but they've got some other contracts that they've got to get done. Like all of a sudden, Stevenson, who they acquired from Washington, he's looking like a player. They mm-hmm. got to sort that out. Nicholas Roy is another guy they're going to have to sort out, and they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do here. I think, yes, that's a possible. I mean, the other possibility here is, they buy him out, but that means he's on your cap for 4 years.
Yep.
Now, I do think that some teams are going to look at buyout options. I think that absolutely 100% is going to happen. But I don't know if Vegas, that makes a lot of sense for them. It gives them a break for the next 2 years. But if the cap doesn't go up, then that's where it catches up to you. So I think all of these options are going to be on the table. No question about it.
This just came to me right now, and I believe that you have been fairly adamant about this going back to even before we had a new CBA and before they figured out how to navigate the next number of uncertain years. But has there, like, there's no compliance buyout. That's not something that is going to materialize, right?
No, there are no compliance buyouts.
Okay.
And the owners were adamant against it. They've lost enough money. They don't want to have to pay out extra cash. They don't have to pay out.
Okay. And I was pretty sure of that. I just didn't know if, like, there might be one that would all of a sudden pop up down the road, but that's a pretty definitive answer for Mr. Friedman. Elliot joins us on this Wednesday, usually on Mondays, but this week on Wednesdays, with Monday being Labor Day. Mr. Friedman,
yes.
You tweeted about it, and then we saw it in action on our Sportsnet broadcast last night. Player tracking, puck tracking was used and instituted into the telecast for the first time. What'd you think?
You know, I got to tell you, Pat, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I'm hoping that it was just sort of like, let's dip our toe in the water and see what really comes of it. I was kind of underwhelmed by what I saw last night. I'm hoping we see more. But, you know, one of the things that, I want to do is, I want to look at, okay, let's just say we have a really grueling, grinding game.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets faster? You know, who's using the same power? Who noticeably slows? And, you know, I don't really have, as far as I can tell when I asked last night, we don't really have the opportunity in our, like, it's based in Edmonton and in our studio in Toronto, we don't really have the opportunity to track that. So, you know, to me, that's the kind of stuff, like, we've seen stuff before about, you know, hardest shots and things like that. I am always interested in who skates the most during a game. You know, they were kind of laughing about how much Haskinen skated in the warm-up last night.
Yeah.
But I want to see more. I want to see, like, over time, who gets affected the most, who doesn't. That's the kind of stuff I really want to get my hands on. And, you know, I guess must be early in the process because, you know, we just didn't have the ability to do that last night.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up because I wasn't sure what to expect. Like, I liked some of the real-time statistics in terms of possession. I know they rolled that out within the first period last night on the Bug, and I thought that was kind of cool, and I thought that there's definitely ways that they can institute this stuff in real time. I'm curious as to where this goes, how many more layers it can have, and it was the first time it's ever been used. That I'm really fascinated as to how it can be instituted into telecasts, knowing that we now have somewhat access to this technology. But from the way you're kind of describing it, we don't know exactly what everyone's going to have access to, right?
Well, and, like, are people going to be able to access the raw data and things like that? Is that only going to be for teams?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all kind of curious to figure that out.
And
what can we do with it? That's what I want.
Yeah.
It's like Play-Doh, right? You're throwing, like, the big thing of Play-Doh. What can you make out of it?
I've always liked in video games, and you're playing an NHL video game, it tells you by the second how much offensive zone time each team had. Well, that's because it's a video game. They're able to do that. I'd like to see that, and I'd really like to, because you've dove into the possession metrics and done your homework on Corsi and Fenwick and all that type of stuff in recent years. I would be fascinated to see how real-time player and puck tracking correlate to the shot-based metrics, because there are some who say they're very accurate and the best tool that we have in the public, and there are some who say they're completely inaccurate. I'd just love to see how they correlate once you actually get that opportunity.
Well, I do think that's true. This opens up a whole other conversation, Pat, and it's a good conversation. There's so much out there right now for people to look at. Well, number one, I think it's going to have to be a second feed. I think there's two very different kinds of sports fan out there, and I don't think one is wrong or worse than the other or dumber than the other or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the people who just want to watch the game, and there's the people who want all this stuff as part of the broadcast. Okay. And I think if you're going to present this right, you have to do it as two separate broadcasts. You have to have your main feed, which is kind of the way that we do it now, a relative, like you have your score bug, but your screen isn't too cluttered. Mm-hmm. And then you have a second feed where your screen is a lot more cluttered for the people, and I jokingly say it lovingly because I was always a huge geek myself, the nerds and geeks who want to see the other stuff, right? And you need that. I just don't think – I think if you have one broadcast with everything like that on the screen, I think there's going to be a lot of people who hate it. I really do. Like, I do think there's a significant amount of people who are like, I just want to watch the game. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't have any problem with that. That's a preference. So you're going to need two separate screens. The other thing is, and, you know, like, I have a lot of teams that tell me, especially when it comes to expected goals. Like, expected goals is a big thing right now in the online analytics world. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of teams that tell me, like, don't believe any of that stuff you see publicly. They don't have the stuff available. They're like, you shouldn't use it. You shouldn't count on it. Because the stuff we have privately is a lot better than what's available publicly. And, like, half of me is like, well, what do you have privately? And they're like, we can't tell you that. And I'm saying, well, I mean, what good does that do to me? So on half of me is like, I think this is potentially interesting. But the other half of me is like, if teams are telling me it's irrelevant to their thinking, how much can I really use it? So I'm with you, Pat, in the sense that I want us to be able to access it so we can see what matters and we can decide for ourselves. And one of the other problems I really have and I've learned this about a lot of people who do create online models, man, they kill each other. Like, I've searched out, like, people in that world and said, okay, tell me about your model. And then they'll say, this is why my model works. And then you'll get someone else who says, no, that model sucks. You can't use that. And then they'll carve that model and say, this is why my model's better. And I don't like that. Like, I've always been a big believer, Pat, in that if you have to tear down other people to make you look good, yeah, you're not good. And I have a problem with that. Like, I just sometimes, I think there's a lot of interesting things out there. And I think there's a lot of stuff that's interesting to read and learn about. But what I don't like is how much some people in that world carve each other, because it makes me distrust motives and things like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Elliot Friedman's with us from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. Yesterday, Vancouver kind of wrapped up their season, did their final media avails, including general manager Jim Benning. What's your read right now, whether it was something you heard from Benning yesterday or just overall with what you know? What's your read on the direction Vancouver is going in net with Thatcher Demko and Jacob Markstrom?
I think they're going to try to sign Markstrom. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think in a perfect world, I think they would like to come back with both guys. And but I think it's going to be tough. For one, you know, they've got two huge contracts that are coming up in the next few years in Pettersson and Hughes, and they've got to have some flexibility there. Number two, you know, they've got a lot of money tied up in their bottom six forwards, and I think they also want to address some things on their blue line too. You know, Demko had an unbelievable finish to the year. He also struggled when, you know, Markstrom got hurt. Mm-hmm. I think that in the regular season, I think he's a really good goalie, and he's on trajectory to become a really good goalie. He certainly proved that against Vegas. But I think the Canucks look at it like the best thing we can do is try to bring back this tandem. I think the questions here, Pat, are going to be, A, do they keep the flexibility open for the expansion draft? I believe in the, like, if I'm Vancouver, this is the way I'm going to deal with Markstrom. I'm going to say, A, we want you back. I'm going to say, B, we want the flexibility to make our decision next year, you or Demko in the expansion draft. So we will give you some sort of no move, no trade protection, but we're not giving it to you until after the expansion draft. That's number one. So that way, you know, in a year, you're either going to be Seattle or you're going to be Vancouver, mm-hmm. and you lock yourself in. That's number one. You cannot be in a situation where you have to box yourself in and say Demko's unprotected. I don't think you can do that right now. The number two thing I think I'm looking at is, I think you're trying to go to Markstrom and say, look, next year is not a big cash year. Whatever contract we give you, we don't want it to be a front-loaded thing. And most players will want that anyway. I think that's kind of the way I would attack it. But I think the one thing that really hurts them is that Markstrom's going to have options. You know, I think of all the guys who are available, I think he's going to be one of the most wanted. So I think it's going to be a difficult negotiation for the Canucks, but I do think they want to bring them back, and that's the way I would go at it if I were them.
With Riccio,
we'll give you a backloaded deal.
Yeah,
but we need the We need the ability to make our choice in expansion.
Well, and what's interesting with Riccio and Randeep on 650 yesterday in Vancouver, Jim was asked about, you know, how they might be able to free up money, and talked about, you know, maybe some RFA guys that we would have to make decisions on. And then they asked about Jake Virtanen and did not get the most ringing endorsement from the general manager of the Canucks. Not a great postseason for Virtanen. He's an RFA. Is he long for the Canucks in your eyes?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways to look at this. Number one, maybe they, and you know, you appreciate the honesty. That's
for sure.
Number one. Number two, I understand that Virtanen didn't play great in the playoffs, but if you take him out of your lineup, look how many goals from your bottom six disappear. I think he scored like 30% of them.
Yeah, he had 18 goals this year.
Yeah, so you're hurting your offense. So that's number one. I think, and we've talked about this, Pat, I think they're, you know, they probably don't like his ARB number. That's what I'm guessing here. So I wonder if they go to him and say, look, if you want to be here, are you willing to sign for under your ARB number? Or are you willing to, or we'll guarantee you 2 years, which gets you more than your ARB number this year, but overall more money. Mm-hmm. And Virtanen might just say, you know what, take a hike, and I'm going to go see what I can get out there. But I think there are going to be guys who are going to say, and I'm not saying Virtanen's one, but I think there will be guys out there who say, you know what, with the cap being the way it is, I'll take security.
Okay.
So my bet is they go to him and they say, all right, we don't want you at your qualifying offer. We don't like your ARB number. Are there other things you're willing to do? And if he says yes, then Vancouver tries to find that out. If he says no, he may be getting dealt or not qualified.
Right now, the Arizona Coyotes are in a really interesting situation, and was listening to the 31 Thoughts podcast from last week with you and Mr. Merrick, and Jeff asked you about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and you said, just off the top of your head, a team that might make sense if the Coyotes are thinking about moving OEL would be the Calgary Flames. Why were they a team that jumped to the front of your mind without trying to radio you?
Well, you know, I just think, like, I look at it, right? Like, your GM knows him.
Yep.
You know, like, there's probably going to be some changes on your blue line. I think as a group, you guys kind of want to make changes in general.
Mm-hmm.
Look, like, you know, I to me, it makes a lot of sense. Now, can you handle the money? Can you make a deal? Like, you know, like, I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be surprised if more than OEL, you guys might be interested in Kemper.
Which would be huge for them.
What's that?
Which would be huge for Calgary, knowing how goaltending is a uncertain topic seemingly every offseason.
Like, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you had to give up a first-round pick, because I think at the very least, Kemper is getting Arizona a first-rounder. Are you doing it for 7x825 of Ekman-Larsson or 2 years at 4.5 of Kemper?
Definitely for me would be Kemper. I don't love the fit. I'm not saying that the Flames wouldn't be interested, but I don't necessarily love the fit with OEL on that contract with Calgary. Whereas mm-hmm. I think Kemper's a hell of a goaltender, has had two really strong seasons back-to-back, and I would be far more comfortable with the two-year deal giving up a first-round pick for him.
Well, it's a first round pick plus, right?
Yes.
But at the very least, you're giving up a first rounder to get Kemper. At the very least.
Yep.
So if you're Calgary and you're giving up that first rounder, you're probably doing it for Kemper. Like, I think there's a lot of interest in Kemper. I got to think you guys are in it. I don't think you're the only ones. I think your neighbors to the north are in it too. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a decent chance he's going somewhere. Like, one of their two goalies is going somewhere. And I think there's a lot of interest in Kemper. And it's going to, at the very least, it's costing you a first rounder. I think you guys are in that conversation.
Surprised the Flames have not announced their future on Jeff Ward and the coaching staff?
Well, it was, what, 10 days ago I talked about it?
Yeah.
And I heard 2 to 3 weeks. So
okay.
I think we're getting
okay.
close.
Okay, so it's still, but it's still within that window.
We're still in the window. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the end of it. I'm not saying it will be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's the end of this week.
Okay. Okay. So it's that's in terms of the timeline that you were aware of. Then
I heard 2 weeks. So 2, maybe 3, but possibly 2. Like, we're still in that second week.
Okay. And so that is absolutely something we're all very interested in out here in Calgary. Elliot Friedman with you, with us. Two more for you. First of all, Capitals vacant coaching gig. You had reported Peter Laviolette, and over the weekend on headlines, Mike Babcock and Gerard Gallant reportedly have interviewed as well. What are you hearing? What's the latest on Washington's coaching job?
I think that Washington's coaching job, as far as I can tell, there's four guys they've talked to. I think Babcock is one. I think Laviolette is one. I think Gallant is one. And I don't know if it's a formal interview or anything like that, but I think they've talked to Boudreau. But I don't know if he counts as one of the four, like, cause I'm not sure if it was a formal interview or a conversation. My guess is, like, one of the tough things here is that you can't really necessarily interview people in person if they have to cross the border, right? And the one thing I was told about Gallant's situation is he can't cross the border and do an interview with them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's because of the quarantine.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that affects his situation or not. I think, but I do think that Babcock and Laviolette are legit contenders. I think in both those cases, you have to make a deal with their other teams because they both have term remaining, Laviolette in Nashville and Babcock in Toronto. Babcock's number is bigger. It's significantly big. From what I've heard, Toronto is prepared to be realistic here if he's the choice. Like, they're not going to say, well, you have to pay him $5 million and we'll pay him a few hundred thousand. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. I think Washington, I'm trying to figure out the timeline. I think they'd like to do it in the next little while. Like, I don't think this is something they're looking to wait on, but I think Babcock, Laviolette are probably, are definite contenders. I still think Gallant's in there too. I just have heard that there's a logistical issue about meeting face to face. So I just think that, you know, the whole thing there is that I know they want an experienced coach. If it's anyone besides those guys I've mentioned, I don't know that to be the case.
Okay. And finally, Max Domi.
And certainly they could be talking to people I'm not aware of.
Like, right.
I didn't know Florida was interviewing Bill Zito, and the next thing I know, he had the job.
Right. Okay.
Some insider, eh?
I would suggest you do a pretty good job, my friend. What final thought? We heard on Saturday Max Domi has switched agents. What else do we know about what his future might look like in Montreal?
You know, the one thing I wondered is if he was going to ask for a trade, and I was told he did not. Like, the thing is, Montreal has Kotkaniemi, and they have Suzuki, and those are going to be their guys up the middle, hopefully for a long time. And then they have Deneau, and they have Domi. And Deneau has one more year until he's a UFA, and Domi needs a new contract right now, and he's also getting close to unrestricted free agency. So I think Montreal, my guess, and this is purely my guess, is that Bergevin tests the market, sees what's available, and makes his call on, you know, maybe one or both of those guys. Mm-hmm. But I specifically asked if Domi asked for a trade, and I was told no.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Friedman. Have a wonderful telecast tonight. We will talk to you on Monday. Thank you for doing this with us today on a Wednesday.
All right. Take care, Pat. Have a good week.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Reduce touch points and stay open for business with hands-free doors. Calgary Lock and Safe recommends wave sensors, arm pulls, and foot pulls. Explore options at calgarylockandsafe.com.
What?